You are listening to episode number 273 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast.
Now operating in half capacity.
Of the Mighty Warriors Team Marvel Podcast. I am your host, Ben, aka the Marvelous Iggy. Joining me tonight, and only tonight, is the man who stalks the night, Taser. Taser, welcome to the show.
Hello, everybody.
So yeah, normally we are the Warriors 3, but Brian, unfortunately, cannot be here due to personal reasons, and same with John. So wish them well on our Facebook group. Because we want them back for the next show. So this is probably going to be our shortest show ever, but we're going to try to make the damn entertaining one nonetheless. I don't know about you, man, but I've been trying to rewatch all the Marvel movies for Infinity War. I want to get through all of them. I just finished Captain America: The First Avenger last night. I know you're not a fan, but I still.
What? I love Captain America: First Avenger. What are you, crazy?
You groaned a little bit, so I was like, that's what I was
saying.
No,
that was moaning with pleasure.
Okay. Yeah, like, next time, like, I know Iron Man is technically the best. Personally, I put Cap above it. Like, I love it that much. I love Chris Evans as Captain America, just almost perfect casting. The CGI is a little weak in terms of, like, when he's in his shrunken form. But, like, once he's, like, full-on roided out, you know, and Viggo Mortensen's the Red Skull. It's such a great movie. Like, I love it.
You know, I gotta say that even to this day, what's his name playing us? He does a better Steve Rogers than Captain America. I don't know. It's weird with me, but he pulls it off. You know, he pulls it off. And if anything, I've come to increasingly like the Cap movies. And he's been, you know, and it is due to his performance. So if anything, I have to tip the hat to him.
Yeah.
Because Cap 1, 2, and 3 is in that rare category of movies where I liked the first one, I loved the second one, and I fucking loved the third. And it doesn't happen to me too often where you scale up. You know what I mean?
So, yeah, usually in superhero movies, it goes down.
There's a dip somewhere, but yeah, there's not a lot of, you know, one step, two step, three step, and it's all, you know, vertical. So, you know, that Marvel did the job, and, you know, Chris Evans, thumbs up, man. Really?
Yeah, exactly. We're going to miss you playing as Cap when you die this year. Not the actual person, but in Infinity War. He either dies this year or next year. But speaking of Infinity War, originally this movie was supposed to come out on May the 4th, you know, like every other big Marvel movie has come out.
Mm-hmm.
Free Comic Day weekend.
Yay!
I was actually telling Taser in years past, I would schedule off that weekend off in, like, for the big Marvel movie. You know, I would do some personal shopping, hang out with my dad, do Free Comic Day, of course. I wasn't going to do that this year because I'm actually going to Chicago for vacation.
Cool.
So on Twitter, Marvel was sort of reaffirming, like, hey, don't forget Avengers Infinity War in theaters May 4th. And Robert Downey Jr. is like, well, how about something about how can I invite my friends? What do you mean, these friends? What about the whole world? And it's like, you know what, Robert? You're right. You got it, Mr. Stark. Infinity War will now officially release on April 27th worldwide.
That's so awesome. I like that. That's, you know, premeditated is all hell, but still, you know, a week earlier? Hey, give me some of that love.
Exactly. Like, it makes the wait a little less longer, despite it only being a week early. I'm excited. Like, I want to see that movie opening night, because I don't want to have anything spoiled for me when I go into that movie.
Mm-hmm. Yes, no spoilers. No spoilers. I'm not even looking at commercials. You know, and to be perfectly honest, I'm not looking at any more trailers. None.
Same here.
I'm just not doing it.
That first trailer did the job. The Super Bowl one was enough. Like, it was 30 seconds. It doesn't really do anything more, but gives you just that small taste. No more trailers. No more trailers. So, yeah, that's really nothing much to say about that other than, fuck yeah, it's coming out a week early. So, shout-outs to Robert Downey Jr., to Tony Stark on making that happen. But let's talk about something a little bit more serious right now that is relating to Stan Lee, one of the current fathers of modern comics, including Marvel Comics, is currently battling an illness in the hospital. And I think to quote something, he doesn't think he's strong enough to survive this. He's up there, right? Like, he's 90 plus. It's just that, you know, like, it's something that it was inevitable. Like, to get very nihilistic right now, death is inevitable. That doesn't make the ride to that point any less fun. So, only thing, you know, I'm going to say, and I'll let Taser speak in just a moment, is that, you know, well wishes to Stan that you once again, you know, rise up and keep going for a couple more years. But, you know, hey, if the big sleep calls, the big sleep calls. And, you know, he's had one hell of a career from the 40s up until now, if anything. But he's not dead yet. Taser, if you want to say anything.
Oh, okay. If I'm going to be vapid and self-centered, I'll just say that I can't have Stan Lee die this year, you know, the same year as Black Panther and freaking Infinity War. I can't have Stan Lee dying this year, because that's going to harsh my vibe. Okay, now if I'm going to be the, you know, decent human being that I apparently am every now and again, you know, Stan Lee is an older individual, and, you know, death is inevitable for everybody, but, you know, he's somebody that you still don't want to see go, you know, because it kind of reminds you of your own mortality, and also, you know, it reminds me that, well, I'm not the kid I was anymore. You know, like, Stan Lee's gone. Like, I you know, nobody ever thinks that you'll get to that point when, you know, this person who means, you know, whatever is no longer around. You know, Stan Lee has been that guy that, you know, I heard on Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends and The Incredible Hulk in the 80s. You know, when I was a little younger, some of those old 60s Marvel tunes. Hell, I think he even did some voiceovers in the 70s Fantastic Four cartoon. But, it'll be strange to be in a world, a little bit strange to be in a world without Stan Lee, you know? I mean, it's something that's going to happen at some point. It's inevitable, no matter what. But, you know, it's just like, wow. You know, we're getting there. He's not gone yet, as you said. And, God, you know, please, not yet. But it'll just be a weird place, I think, you know, when Stan Lee goes.
Yeah, I think it'll be the most real when you go to a Marvel movie and you don't see him in a cameo. I think that's when it'll be real for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Just because we don't interact with them in
And whatever you do, Marvel, whatever you do, you know, if he does pass, whatever you do, do not CGI him. Please don't do that. Not that I have a problem with what Lucasfilm did with Rogue One and freaking, you know, the piece of crap from the last one, but Don't CGI him in anything. You know, if you're going to honor him in, like, end of trailer or something like that, fine. No CGI Stan Lee. Please don't do that. Just don't do that. That's all.
Yeah. All best of luck to Stan Lee and his family. But let's move on to a little bit of extra, little bit of final news. Not much news to talk about this week, or last 2 weeks, rather. So you know how Marvel just came out of Secret Empire and they renumbered everything back to original numbering? You know, She-Hulk's in the 160s. Cap's about to hit 700. Yay! Doctor Strange is going to hit 400. Well, fuck all that noise. Starting in May, Marvel will be launching a new initiative called Marvel Fresh Start, which is basically another relaunch. So here's two words from
at Steve least Zabalski. It's a relaunch and not a reboot. Okay, yeah. So let's take some solace from that.
Yeah, it's still annoying though. Like, there's no reason why they couldn't do a relaunch and keep the same fucking numbers, you assholes. See, this is the bullshit that I hate. Before we get into, like, we're gonna go over down the books that were announced. But this is what I hate. It's like they say, and this is all PR shit, but they say we want to cater to new readers. Bitch, you're confusing new readers by renumbering every year. Like, you're gonna say which number one do I start before you can say read Aquaman 25 through 40 and you'll get a complete story. Read this number 1 through 50, you'll get a complete story. Here it's like, well, you read Ant-Man number 1 through 12. Then you read Astonishing Ant-Man number 1 through 12. Like, which, and but if you don't know that, which one, you just see number 1, you're going to think you can start off there and then they're going to reference something from the previous series. Stop renumbering. It's so fucking stupid. You're not bringing in new people that way. It's not happening. It's just keeping people like me coming to the shops and, like, I already know what to expect because I know how the system works. But here's some words from C.B. Zabelski and Tom Brevoort. C.B. Zabelski, the new editor-in-chief replacing Axel Alonso, which we talked about last year. Here at Marvel, we tell stories that aim to entertain, inspire, and amaze. When I think about what's next for us and our fans, four things come to mind. New creative teams, new series, new directions, and new beginnings. We have a lot of incredible comics coming out in 2018, and Avengers number 1 will be an important milestone for every Marvel fan. There are so many spectacular stories with amazing art leading up to May. We hope you'll enjoy these previews of our fresh start. And as always, I'm thrilled to say this is editor-in-chief, make mine Marvel. And this is Tom Brevoort saying, over the next couple weeks, we'll be rolling out new beginnings for our key franchise, new creative teams, new starting points, new storylines, all the big stuff we've been building towards since Legacy began. This isn't a clearing of the slate. While these new starts will kick off new number ones, we'll be maintaining the classic Legacy issue count as dual. That's okay. Maybe I should prepo. So they're going to do the thing they did in the 2000s where they'll have the other number and then, like, in vague fade out, they'll have. That's still stupid. Just keep the fucking big numbering. It's a fucking stupid. As dual numbering on these titles as well. I don't read anything. And don't read anything to not seeing a character on the Jim Chung piece. We can only screen, like, there's a promo piece for that Jim Chung did for Fresh Art, which I love Jim Chung's art. It's so good.
What does he do?
He did the promo piece for this Fresh Start, which is, like, some of the big heroes. Like, you have Cap, Black Panther, Ant-Man, Thor, Venom, Doctor Strange. It's basically just, like, a big poster shot.
All right.
And people are mad. It's like, well, how come this person's not here? Like, well, he can only draw so much. So here's a rundown, and we're going to go over them one by one. So this is Avengers number 1. This is going to be written by Jason Aaron, the current writer of Thor. Mm. And he's going to be joined by Ed McGuinness, which is, yeah. Mm. Ed McGuinness. He'll be on
the 5. Long-time Superman artist. That could be interesting.
Oh, hell yeah. I love his art. Thor Odinson, and here's the synopsis. Thor Odinson, Steve Rogers, Tony Stark. The big three of the Avengers are reunited at last, and just in time to save the world from total annihilation at the hands of their most powerful enemies yet, the 2,000-foot-tall space gods known as Celestials. Behold, the coming of the final host. Who will answer the call to assemble for a wild new era of Earth's mightiest heroes? Hint, one of them has a flaming skull for a head, and what strange world-shaking connection exists between the final host and Odin's ancient band of prehistoric Avengers? Oh, yeah, that thing. I wonder where they were going to bring that up. So, yeah, the cover, the team looks like it's going to be Thor spotting a new golden hammer and a golden arm. Captain Marvel, Black Panther, of course, Captain America, Steve Rogers, Iron Man, Tony Stark Iron Man, She-Hulk, Robbie Reyes Ghost Rider, the Latino Ghost Rider, and in the back in all his glory, Doctor Strange. So there you go.
Yay!
Any thoughts on this one, Taser?
No. No. I no. I mean, yay, Avengers. No, not touching it. Just not touching it.
Not even for Ed McGuinness. I mean, like, I can't remember. He's done Marvel work before. He did, like, Hulk, like, 10 years ago. But that was about it.
Okay, yeah. I honestly don't. Oh, no, you're right. Because he did Hulk when,
The Red Hulk thing.
Yeah, exactly. Right. That's the one where he actually palmed Mjolnir. And what was that? They took it away from Thor. And it was like, oh, my God, he's worth, you know. And then you realize, no. Actually, he was, you know, they came with some bullshit for it.
Yeah, I
don't have it in me to there's no Avengers want to read in me yet. And even with that, with Aaron and McGuinness on it, I am still not, you know, it's not moving me, you know, maybe gotcha. When we get closer, maybe then, but right now I'm not feeling it.
All right, next up is, and that's coming out on May the 2nd. Next up is Venom number 1, which also was recently renumbered. This is going to be written by Donny Cates, who seems to be Marvel's new up-and-comer. He's currently writing Doctor Strange and a whole bunch of other stuff. And Ryan Stegman, former Scarlet Spider artist. In the wake of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s collapse, an ancient and primordial evil has been awakened beneath the streets of New York. And with it, something equally as evil and awakened in that the most wicked of web singers, Venom. Still a lethal protector of the innocents in New York, this never-before-seen threat could force Venom to relinquish everything it holds dear, including Eddie Brock. Join two of Marvel's hottest creators in... So yeah, this is Venom. I don't care. Do you care? I don't care.
No. Okay. Nope.
Moving on. Sorry, Venom. You have a movie that looks bad. Okay. Next up is Black Panther number 1. This is maintaining the writer from the previous series, Ta-Nehisi Coates, but this time he's going to be joined by Daniel Acuña, who's one of my favorite artists currently. A bold new direction for the Black Panther. For years, T'Challa has fought off invaders from his homeland, protecting Wakanda from everything from meddling governments to long-lost gods. Now, he will discover that Wakanda is much bigger than he ever dreamed. Across the vast multiverse lies an empire founded in T'Challa's name. Readers caught a glimpse of it in Marvel Legacy number 1. I don't remember that. I didn't read it then again. Now find out the truth behind the intergalactic empire of Wakanda. Ta-Nehisi Coates welcomes aboard fan for, yeah. So I'm probably gonna try this because I'm on that Black Panther high, but also because I love Daniel Acuña and I have not he's been doing stuff I haven't been a fan of, so that is the number one reason why I'm going to read this.
Okay, my take. I'm not gonna read this because as much as I hate to say this. As much as I love the movie, Black Panther does not work for me as a solo character. He works when he's in an ensemble cast, like New Avengers or an Avengers, you know, something like that. And to kind of, you know, further the weirdness that is my mind, I had gone to a clothing store the other day, and they had a bunch of, you know, the novelty T-shirts, you know. They had, you know, a bunch of Marvel, and they had these really awesome looking Black Panther shirts that none of which were in my size. They had the size above, they had the size below, and they even had them tall because I'm actually kind of a tall guy. They didn't have them in my size, and I was standing there upset, and then I realized something. It was Batman all over again. You know? I was about to buy this shirt because I had just seen the movie. Not because I cared that much about the character. Understand that. I had seen the movie. Not that it was, oh, I love T'Challa that much. So, here, it's the same thing. I like the Black Panther, but he's not a character I really want to read about. You know, and he's always been like that. Also, I gotta admit, partly because, you know, he's from Wakanda, which is in Africa, and because I'm a Nubian, I don't want to be, you know, like, you know, oh, you're reading it because it's black. No, I'm not doing it like that. I'm fighting the stereotype here. You know, I'm not doing it, man. I'm not doing it. It just, you know, he's just never really worked for me like that. You know, love the character, but don't want to read about him. I just don't.
All right, fair enough. I know a lot of people. Hopefully, a lot of people will want
to
pick it up.
I'm going to get a few people to go, what? Taser's crazy. Black Panthers was. And then we'll probably lose some, a whole bunch of readers. And I just want to say, you know, so what? No, just kidding.
All right. Next up is Immortal Hulk number one. I swear to God, that is so much closer to the Immortal Hulk Hogan. That's almost copyright infringement right there. The Hulkster is going to sue somebody.
What you going to do, brother, when the Immortal Hulk Hogan tries to sue you? Oh, yeah.
So here's a synopsis. Horror has a name. You'd never notice the man. He doesn't like to be noticed. He's quiet, calm, never complains. Well, you can walk up and shoot him in the head, and all he'll do is die. Until night falls, and something else gets up again. The name is Banner. The horror is the Immortal Hulk. Okay. It sounds like they're going to go back to that whole idea that Hulk only transforms at night kind of thing. Which is dumb.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, because they just recently re-debuted Hulk in the current Avengers No Surrender storyline that's been weekly now. He's just mad.
No. It's not that. It's just that, you know, Hulk, they brought back Banner way, way, way too soon. You know, they made a big deal about killing him off. Well, they kind of made a big deal about it. They kind of did and said, oh, yeah, we also killed off Bruce Banner. They killed him, and, you know, there was a little repercussions, and some of it bounced into Choi, you know, going after Hawkeye, you know, and then fighting the urge to smash him, whatever the fuck. But honestly, Banner should have been gone for longer than he was, you know? And while I didn't like the book, I thought it was way too cerebral, way too conversational. I like the idea of Jen being, you know, having that title, Hulk. You know, I liked it. Even though I didn't like the book because it talked too fucking much, I liked that idea. Now, they brought Banner back because of, I think, some, you know, bullcrap that you told me about a couple of months ago, which sounds awful. Just sounds awful. Awfully done. And, you know, somebody's, you know, probably found an old black and white reprint from about 10, 20 years ago and said, hey, they did this with Hulk? How about if we went back to that? Exclamation point over the head. You know, I just, really? Oh, come on. It didn't. And on top of which, that that blurb sounds like they're adding something spooky or horrific there, which you could argue has always been kind of around the Hulk because of what he does, you know, the whole transformation to big BC and whatever the fuck. But I just, no. You know, leave Banner alone, for God's sake. I mean, we've got three Hulks running around, you know, with him back now. And, you know, I mean, how much do you have to, you know, F with something before it's kind of like really overdone? You know, kind of like Green Lantern. Just saying. So yeah, that's a hard hell no for me. Just no, please.
Yeah, same here. Pass. Next up is Doctor Strange number one. It's not canceled. Thank God. It's not canceled.
You know, I was
gonna make
fun of you for that if it had been.
I know. No. The movie made too much money.
Yeah, fair enough.
As long as the movie keeps making money, I'm gonna get Doctor Strange because all that matters. Alright, Doctor Strange number one. This is gonna be veteran writer Mark Waid and pencils Jesus Saez. The synopsis reads as the Eye of Agamotto is closed. Dr. Stephen Strange has lost connection to the Earth's arcane power and can't wait to recover while nightmares press against the seams of our reality. Tony Stark offers a 21st century solution. When astral travel fails, try astronautical travel. Enter Dr. Strange, space explorer extreme. New spells, allies, and enemies. New and old await Strange beyond the stars. Love the corners and secrets of the Marvel Universe. Seen here for the first time. Space is endless, but time is short. After years of threats, Steven's bill for magic use is coming due. Who will come to collect? So, they're turning into a cosmic character.
I don't have a problem. No, I don't know about cosmic. Sounds spacey. I mean, if we're talking him going out into different, I don't know, systems or whatever hell, looking for God knows whatever the fuck, you know.
It's Doctor Strange. He's going to be looking God knows whatever the fuck. That's what he does.
Right. Fair enough. But he's always gone through different dimensions, not through space, is what I'm saying. In that regard, he's cosmic, you know, because we're talking, he was the first one to meet eternity. So, yeah, kind of.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, he's always at least been on the periphery of those kind of things. But now we're talking about him having more science-based things going on. You know, he's going to be, you just said he was going to be on a ship or something like that.
It's just interstellar trailer. Yeah, exactly. He's going to take to the stars.
Yeah, so. He
still looks, I mean, on the cover, that's
does
danger
he have armor?
From the X-Men.
Does he have technology? No, no tech.
No eye patch.
He doesn't look like Corsair, because I could kind of see that.
No, on the cover that they've shown is that he looked like his. It's a little bit of a redesign, mm-hmm. but not much. It's pretty much the same thing, but like the same, you know, glowy hands and magic. And again, the only difference is like there's a spaceship in the background and armor, not armor. The robot Danger from the X-Men is in the cover. Ooh. That's it.
He keeps the cape.
Yeah, he keeps the cape.
Okay. All right. Then, you know what? That sounds like. Pardon me. That sounds more of a little mini reboot as opposed to a relaunch, which, you know what? I can't believe I'm going to say this. I'm at least going to look at that first issue because, damn it, that sounds interesting. I honestly cannot believe I'm going to do that, but yeah. And this is something you don't really see, you know, from you know the doc. Over the course of his existence, most of his stuff has been mystical and, you know, otherworldly and blah, 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 all in your head and, you know, tentacle demons or whatever the fuck. But here, it's him kind of playing around in the realm of Stark and the other 99% of the Marvel Universe. You know, going out on, you know, let's take a tour or some shit. Kind of like what they did with Stark when they put him in with the Guardians of the Galaxy, you know?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, I want to see what they do because with Stark, I didn't care. You know, that's not a whole lot of difference, you know? But here with Strange, this is a different take for, you know, this is a different thing for him. So, yeah, I'm going to look at least at that first issue. Yeah, at least that first issue, I'll take a look.
And I'm already gonna buy it. So
of course, so that was already a sale.
Yeah, I don't get a Doctor Strange series. So I'm gonna keep running this train until it eventually dies. So next up, we have Thor number one. Uh-huh. The God of Thunder is back. Thor Asgardian has regained his mantle, and he's got a wild new world of trouble on his mighty hands. The artifacts of Asgard have been scattered across the earth, and to reclaim them, Thor will have to face some ugly truths, like the production costs on hundreds of new hammers. And the Thunder God is going to need every last one of them if he's going to stop the unstoppable Juggernaut. Jason Aaron takes the Prince of Asgard in a whole new direction with Young Gun artist Mike Del Mundo joining him at the helm. And don't miss the latest chapter of the King Thor saga with acclaimed Black Belt artist Christian Ward as Thor of the far future encounters an old friend who's undergone some startling changes. Written by continuing the series Jason Aaron stays on with penciler Mike Del Mundo, who is a very good artist. I'm down.
The only hammer I care about Thor ever having is Mjolnir. You know, that's not a surprise. I think people, I have no basis for this opinion. So let me be upfront about that. But I will say that as much as it actually pisses me off, I will say that I think that I can't call her the name that I want to call her because of Lent. Damn it. The female Thor, Jane Foster. I will say that that is still an interesting dynamic. So I really, really, really want them to kind of step away from Thor and any searches for, you know, I need a signature weapon. Let's not. Can we leave that alone? Can we get back to Thor going out and finding problems like across, you know, the nine worlds? Let's do that, you know, rather than new hammers. No, leave that alone. No, that's over and done. That's been over. It's overdone. I'm tired of that. Leave that alone. Let's have Thor go back to being Thor. You know? Please, can we do that? And leave Volstagg alone, because Volstagg is awesome. Just leave him alone. That's my Volstagg. Don't touch him.
Well, he already got shot up to hell by Hela, so.
Yeah, I know.
Next up is Ant-Man and the Wasp, number 1 and 2 of 5. So this is only a 5-issue miniseries. Wasp was just trying to help Ant-Man to get home to see his daughter. But a little problem got in the way. Very little. Subatomic, in fact, as Scott Lang was lost in the vast spaces between atoms. Now Nadia is his only hope of rescue. If only he would listen long enough to save her, for her to save them. From storyteller Mark Waid and Marvel Young Gun artist Javier Guerin comes the story of a big journey getting smaller and smaller at a time. So this is just a miniseries for the movie, which I'm fine with. Because I... excuse me. Because I love these characters. And there isn't a both their books got canceled last year, so I'll take what I can get. Any thoughts, Taser?
I might look at that first issue just to see how it plays out. I'm not the biggest. I like Scott Lang as a character, not somebody I want to read. And I didn't touch Nadia when she had the Wasp book, because like I said, before we started the show, I think it's interesting that they did that. They went all the way back to Journey into Mystery? No.
Tales of Suspense.
Right. Yeah. Because I think that was their sciency book, right?
I believe so. Yeah.
And they actually did something in continuity and brought it forward. They went all the way back for that. I got to tip the hat to them for it. But if I had my druthers, I wouldn't be reading about Nadia. I'd be reading about Janet, because that's Wasp to me, But this, why not? Just to see how they play off each other. I don't know if they've ever been around each other long enough or whatever. I don't know how that works, but it sounds like it might be an interesting, team up of sorts or whatever. I'll at least look at the first issue. There you go. Nothing else. I'm not even guaranteeing whether I'll pick up the second issue if I like it. I want to see what it looks like, if anything.
Gotcha. Next up is called Tony Stark, Iron Man. This is written by...
That sounds awful.
Yeah, they should just call it Iron Man, or just call it Invincible Iron Man. This is written by new Iron Man writer Dan Slott, and artist by Valerio Schiti. That's S-H-I-T-I, Schiti. It's an unfortunate last name.
Kind of describes the title of that book.
Yeah, sadly. The synopsis reads as, from the cusp of tomorrow's dreams to the foremost of imagination, one man always soars on the cutting edge of adventure. You know his name? Tony Stark is Iron Man. And Iron Man is an idea. Always changing, always evolving, an idea without limit. Take wing with Dan Slott Valerio Schiti as they propel the ultimate self-made hero to new heights of inventiveness. Tony Stark is Iron Man. The future is now. Strap in. That said shit all. Didn't say anything.
That sounds awful.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like picking up, that's like going to the supermarket, going into the cereal section, and picking up a box that says cereal.
Pretty much, yeah.
That doesn't help me out at all. I'm like, what kind of cereal is it? Raisin Bran, Corn Flakes, Cocoa Puffs? No, it's just cereal. The fuck, man? Man, it's disappointing. Yeah. Okay.
Hard pass. Next up is Captain America number 1. This is going to be written by Black Panther writer Ta-Nehisi Coates and pencils by Lionel Francis Yu. Winter in America. For over 70 years, he has stood in stalwart defense of our country and its people. But in the aftermath of Hydra's takeover of the nation, Captain America is a figure of controversy, carrying a tarnished shield. And a new enemy is rising. Who are the power elite? And how do they intend to co-opt and corrupt the symbol that is Captain America? Pretty much, like, well, I thought we were already doing this. I guess we're not. I'm going to try it because I like Lionel Yu's art and I like reading Cap about Captain America.
I like Lionel Yu's art and I'm trying to get into Captain America again. Trying. And it's still kind of a work in progress, you know? So, yeah, I'll pick it up, but like I said, I'm trying to get into Captain America, and I've been trying for the past couple of months to get into Captain America. So maybe that will do it. You know, it's March now, and I'm still trying to get into Captain America. That's all I got to say about that.
You got a long way to July 4th.
Yeah. Yes, I do.
So next up is The Amazing Spider-Man number 1. Yeah, they're renumbering this one, too, after 800 issues. This is going to be written by, for the first time in over a decade, a new writer will be writing Spider-Man. Nick Spencer will be writing it. And penciled by Ryan Ottley. Now, if you don't know that name, that is the man who has been the main artist for the Invincible series over at Image. And that series just ended. And now he's drawing Spider-Man, which is kind of cool. So yeah, I didn't think that was gonna happen. I would see that day, but it's finally happened. So here's the synopsis. It's a brand new. Wait a second. Spider-Man's gone big time. That's not right either. Spider-Man's Reaper. Definitely not that. Amazing Spider-Man gets a bigger brand new series courtesy of Nick Spencer. And the Marvel debut of Ryan Ottley from Invincible. An alien invasion attacks New York City, and the only one who can stop it is Spider-Man? But that's far from what you'll find here. A revelation from the past puts Peter Parker's job, relationships, and whole life in jeopardy. And if even that's not enough, you'll see a new roommate, new love interest, and a new villain. I'm going to buy it because I want to read Spider-Man again. And it has a really good penciler, too.
So this is the hook that you've been looking for.
A new fucking blood! Like, the synopsis doesn't seem all that interesting, but if you can entertain me, fuck, I want to read Amazing Spider-Man again. I want to have that on my monthly pull list.
I respect it.
Anything else? Are you going to pick it up?
Nah, I'm not feeling Spider-Man now. No, just no.
All right, so let's move on to the final one, which is kind of interesting. Also, Spider-Man releases, it just says on sale in July, so no solid release date. Next up is Life of Captain Marvel number 1. This is going to be written by Margaret Stoll and art by Carlos Pacheco, veteran artist Carlos Pacheco. Captain Marvel, The Homecoming. Carol Danvers was just a girl from the Boston suburbs who loved the science and the Red Sox until a chance encounter with a Kree hero gave her incredible superpowers. Now she's a leader in the Avengers and commander of Alpha Flight. But what if there was more to the story? When crippling anxiety attacks put her on the sidelines in the middle of a fight, Carol finds herself reliving memories of a life she thought was far behind her. You can't outrun where you're from, and sometimes you have to go home again. But there are skeletons in Captain Marvel's closet, and what she will discover will change her entire world! Written by best-selling author Margaret Stoll and drawn by fan favorite comics veteran Carlos Pacheco, this is the true origin of Captain Marvel.
This is like what? Origin number, or reboot, redone origin number 3 or 4 for her?
I want to say four.
You know, not that Carol's a bad character at all, but they've gone back and she's one of those characters that they go back and retweak to, for whatever reason, to try to, I don't know, make her more interesting to somebody. I don't know what. And it's not that she isn't, but, you know, there's no need to do all these retreads. It's not needed at all. And this just seems like, you know, a waste of paper. You know, I have no desire to touch this book just because of that. You know, just because of that, I'm not touching the book. And I'm not going to be a dick and say that I hope it fails, but, you know, I hope it fails.
Oh, I'm not surprised. You know, the Captain Marvel movie is gearing up for next year. They probably want to get something out for it. That's probably what
Which
this
is fine, but, you know, it's not like they need to take and you know, they're restarting the line. They're restarting, you know, just about all the lines, but try to, you know, say that they have to go back to the beginning because, yes, we're going to find out stuff about Carol we never knew before. No, just no. If you're going to do that, then do a mini where you tell, you pull like a, what was the thing that they did with Superman right after Crisis?
The Man of Steel.
Yeah, exactly. Series? Do something like that, you know, where you actually deal with Carol as a kid and then her joining the military. And then she meets Mar-Vell. And then, you know, she gets her ass kicked and has her powers, you know, twisted by Rogue. And then, you know, Carol as she is now. You know, something like that. Yeah, that's what you do for the, you know, for when her book comes out. But, you know, or at least something. But doing this here, and it's not the first time that they've done this. You know, I'm surprised he didn't go back and say, oh, well, I don't really feel anything for anybody because I don't have emotions. You know, because, you know, that's not something they've never done with her either. You know, that just sounds lame. I will not be touching this book. Not at all.
Agreed. All right, so there you go, ladies and gentlemen. That's going to be, at least as of right now, the first several number ones. Some of them are interesting, some of them are forgettable, but Doctor Strange will always exist. Let's go ahead and move on to our only book we're going to talk about, which is, I'm going to go ahead and prep everybody for of Infinity Countdown Prime number one. this is the, it's the primer series for the Infinity Countdown miniseries that actually starts this week. So this is basically catching up to everybody on who has an Infinity Stone. It's drawn by Mike Diodato, so it looks really good, if anything like that. And I've been out of the Marvel mainline loop for a while, so it was kind of cool to like read something in the universe again. But so it basically tells you who has the stones. So let's see. Logan has a space stone. They don't explain why, but he has a space stone. He fights Loki and he fucking stabs him through the head. That was pretty cool. Let's see. Fucking beats the shit out of Loki. I'm pretty sure, what's his name from Defenders, the bad guy, the one who's like my dad loved you more kind of guy. What was his name?
Urkel?
Not Urkel. Fuck. From Defenders, from Luke Cage. What's his name?
Oh God.
Blackfish? No.
Blackfish?
Yeah, Blackfish. That sounds like it.
Oh
God, he was like his name sounded like a Captain America villain.
Diamondback,
yeah. Diamondback has a fucking Infinity Stone on his cane. It's weird, like he just has one. Carol has the Reality Stone, or as the book alludes, that multiple Captain Marvels, like they even show Monica Rambeau. The original Captain Mar-Vell has one, so it's like. There's that. And then apparently the Power Stone isn't even a stone. It's a fucking mountain. It's a huge ass mountain. Yeah. And the Guardians are like, what are we going to do with it? Oh, and the Super Skrull shows up. He has the Time Stone. Yeah, Super Skrull has the Time Stone. This kid from 2018 shows up. And there's the original Adam Warlock, like how he originally looked. Thanos, of course, is going to play a role to it. This character Magus is having a conversation with Ego, the Living Planet, which then leads to Pimtron getting the Soul Stone, and we now know that Hank Pym is not dead. Technically he was never dead because he just merged with Ultron, but his consciousness is inside the
body,
the world, the soul, okay. The soul world,
right.
With an old looking version of Gamora. Which is, you know, that's what her origins are from anyways.
Well, hold on. Okay, when it comes to Gamora, we know that she was about to say Darkseid. We know that she was trained by Thanos. She was killed and had her soul put into the stone by, I think, Adam Warlock. And she was there with Pip, somebody else, and Adam Warlock for a long period of time. And then, you know, they came up with the bright idea to do the Infinity Stones. And, oh, no, look, there's more stones than just the Soul Stone. She came out, Pip came out, Adam Warlock came out. And 20 years of Infinity Stone-ness happened to the Marvel Universe. But when they, you know, came and they rebooted the universe and, you know, she was off and, you know, she got rid of the Black Canary leggings and everything else and she wore armor. I wasn't aware of anything weird happening to her. They just kind of, well, I feel like changing my look and that's what I'm doing. So you're saying that there's a version of her in the Soul Stone as well as the one that's still in Guardians?
Yeah, because the current version of Gamora is like having an argument with Peter Quill about what to do about the Power Stone.
Okay.
Like, yeah.
Okay.
Now they're trying to look for the Soul Stone.
All right. I don't know what to make of that one.
Okay. Yeah. But why the fuck does Diamondback have a fucking Infinity Stone?
Because somebody thought it'd be interesting. Yeah.
Like how the fuck did that happen? Like, that's what I'm wondering.
What I want to know is, how do you get it from him?
Yeah,
I mean, unless they pull a Nebula when they just go, hey, look over there, huh? What? Yoink! Unless you do that, there's no way you take that from him by force. It doesn't happen. Yeah, unless you get a telepath and say, like, give me the soul. Oh, okay, Master, here you go. You know, there you go.
No, he has the mind. He has the Mind Stone.
Oh.
He has the Mind Stone.
Well, then... Well, shit.
Yeah, but even then, like, how the fuck does he... Where the fuck did he get it? More important, like, where the fuck did Logan, you know, like, he just came back to life. Like, where the fuck did he get the... Like, that's the... To me... That's how he got out alive. Like that's how he's alive is the space stone. That's the only reason that like because he was frozen in adamantium. So
then who used it?
I have no idea. That's a good question. That's a good question.
Not only that, no, that can't be because I've seen the panel of the mold that he was entombed in, and that thing was ripped apart. So yeah. The space stone wouldn't do that. You know what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? You wouldn't use the space stone to rip apart the adamantium. You would just, I don't know, maybe teleport the man inside out and you would still have the mold intact. You know, I'm guessing.
Possibly. Where the fuck did he find
it? Maybe the Jack Kirby god. Because, you know, Jack Kirby's god in the Marvel Universe. Maybe he came to Earth and said, hey, let's have some fun. I don't know. Marvel doesn't make a whole lot of sense anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, to me, like, I guess if you've been reading, I think they were doing, like, this prelude stuff in Guardians. You might have already known this, but I wasn't reading any of that stuff. So it was kind of like, okay, now I know. It was like laying out the playing board. Okay, I know who has what. I don't know why they have that. But I know they have it now, and it was nice art. It was a fine sort of like, and here's the status of the universe with concerning these Infinity Stones, which were called gems at one point, I want to point out. But the lexicon has changed them to fucking stones.
Yeah, because that's what they call them in the movies.
Yeah.
You know? And the movies, everybody pays attention to the movies.
Although they do reference in the comic that they were once called the Infinity Gems. So, but they're not called that anymore. But they were destroyed, weren't they? Like the original Infinity Stones. Like in New Avengers or something? Like Hickman's run?
When Cap tried to stop the incursion, it ended up being destroyed, I think. And the time gem went somewhere, came back, and then, you know, the Marvel Universe wiped itself, and then they were in Doom World, and... there was a version of the Infinity Gems there. T'Challa used it to fight Doom, got his ass beat. I think he either crushed T'Challa's hands and therefore, and also crushed the stones. Either which way, Doom beat the stones. Excuse me, the gems. And then we got remade Marvel Universe. And I think this is really the first time that we're dealing with them. So, you got me, man. I got no clue.
I'll be sure to give updates, because I'll be reading this Infinity War countdown, see where it goes.
I eagerly look forward to any hate that comes from you over this, because I think there's going to be a goodly amount of it.
We'll see. Do you have anything to talk about before we go? Because I think we're going to wrap this up right there.
Nah. I regret that the one book that I did read ended up not being a Marvel book.
Yep.
That was my fault for not paying attention to the cover. You know, I just kind of went by the title and went like, yay, this thing's back. And, it's not a Marvel imprint anymore. No, I'm an idiot. So, yeah, now, long story short, I had read the new Kick-Ass book and didn't realize that it was being put out by Image now. And it was an interesting issue. It wasn't bad at all. But, yeah, it's no longer under... I forgot what they were calling that imprint.
Icon.
Yeah, right. Thank you. It's not being out. It's not under, out under Icon. It's under Image. So yeah, it's verboten. You know, unfortunately. So.
Yep. So go ahead and plug our Facebook stuff.
Yeah, we're on Facebook. No.
Wow.
Yeah, with the
weird... Brian, hurry up and get better.
Yeah, Brian, you do this so much better because I don't like doing it. No, we are the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast on Facebook, and also on we have a Twitter thing that you can follow, and I don't remember what it is right now because Brian usually pays attention to that sort of thing.
It's at Warriors, so that's Warriors ending with a Z, 3P cast, if you want
to
follow.
See, there you go. All right, there. Pay attention to that he just said the thing, you know, a few seconds ago. Pay attention to that. No, but yeah, we do have the Facebook. Brian has been stepping up and posting a lot of good stuff, you know, during the course of the week. I can't do it because by the time I get back to a computer that actually has access to Facebook, because I work behind a firewall, he's already posted anything good, stupid Brian. So, all praise be to Brian because he's really been he's been on the ball. And he's been doing way more than pulling his weight. And John's an old man, so I just had to throw that one in there. But yeah, drop us a line. You know, we post the show there. We post links to our main page, you know, where we also host the show. Please tell us what you like. You know, or fire us a question. You know, we're always up for that. I might make fun of it because that's what I do. But, you know, we love the fan feedback, you know. I'm hoping that more people are seeing our posts across the pond. I think I kind of goofed in how the last two, you know, kind of got sorted out. I think I'll be able to correct it with this one, but it's a learning process for me because, you know, it's actually taking effort and I'm lazy, so I don't really know what I'm doing most of the time. Smiles. So, yeah, that's all I got to say.
And if you want to follow me, you can go to twitter.com/MarvelousIggy where you can just learn about anything that I'm doing. But that's going to do it for this show, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you enjoyed it. It was a little bit shorter than expected. But hey, what can you do? We got to bitch about new Marvel, and that's what we love to do. So, as always, until next time, stay marvelous.
Or funky.
Have a good night,
stay
everybody.
Stay funky. That's even better. Even better than Marvel's. Be funky.
Oh.